Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Virginia cannot afford to lay another egg this weekend with the Georgia Tech coming to town for the regular season finale. This is Chris Graham here on the podcast. And now here's the not fun part of the story about Georgia Tech. They're playing well right now. They've won three in a row for their last five over the course of the season. Now, anyway, Georgia Tech is going to play in the first day of the ACC tournament next week. But they've beaten Duke. They lost the return match at Duke by five. They've beaten North Carolina. They won in double overtime at Clemson. Their most recent win was a one-point win at Wake Forest. This is a team that obviously struggles to play consistently. Kind of reminded me a little bit of the UVA women's basketball team. Four top 25 wins for that team, but you know, knocked out of the first round of the ACC tournament, 15-15 overall. You know, a team with potential to, you can see the ability of both the Virginia women and this Georgia Tech men's team to build, you know, in the next couple of years to being something really interesting. But, you know, from one game to the next, inconsistency is an issue. Looking at this Georgia Tech team, and of course, these two teams played way back in January. So we'll talk about that game a little bit too. The three guys who were the key guys for this Georgia Tech team, 6'6" junior Miles Kelly, 14.6 points a game, high volume shooter, not great shooting percentages, 37.7% from the field, 33.2% from three. The 6'9" freshman Bay Dongo, 11.7 points a game, 8.2 rebounds a game, 55.7%. He shoots some threes, but not a lot. Kowasi Reeves, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that name right, 10.1 points a game, 39.1% from three. So you got to watch that. Dongo in the loss on January 20th had 15 points on 6 of 7 field goals and some free throws. He had 5 rebounds. And then the point guard, Nathan George, freshman 6'3 kid, 9.4 points, 4.6 assists a game. In the loss to Virginia back on January 20th, he had 15 points and 9 assists. So good numbers in that game for George, a guy who has been stepping up of late. Tafara Gepare has been starting at the center spot of late, 5.2 points, 3.4 assists per game, and 6'9" sophomore UMass transfer. So getting more minutes of late, been productive with them in his last three games, 8.7 points a game, 42.3% from three. So a move by first-year Georgia Tech coach Damon Stoudemire to put a guy in at 6'9" who can move around a little bit and you know, not clog up the middle. And it's you know, I gotta imagine that's a big reason why this Georgia Tech team is playing better on offense. You'll also want to be on the lookout for 6'3" senior Kyle Sturdivant, 8.8 points, 2.8 assists per game, 39.4% shooting from three. That's the number that jumps out at you as well. In the loss to Virginia back on January 20th, he had 8 points on 3 of 9 shooting in his last five games, averaging 12.8 a game and shooting 44.8% from three. Watch out for Sturdivant. So how Virginia matches up, you know, don't forget, and it's easy too, Virginia led most of the second half of this game by double digits, the one back in January, I should say. In the first half, midway through the first half, Virginia trailed by double digits. It was 24-13 at one point before Virginia rallied to take the lead at the half and then took control early in the second half. I'll go through the numbers of the Virginia guys in that game. Isaac Neely had 20 points, was 6 of 9 from three, and Reese Beekman had 19 points and had 11 assists as well. Jordan Miner in that game had 11 points. Ryan Dunn had 9 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks, played his usual game, at least usual for that stage of the year. Virginia in the win back in January shot 50% from the field, 11 of 23 from three, and forced a lot of long-range misses from Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech was just 9 of 27 from three in that game. The game plan, you know, I mean, you know, what you're hoping happens here. Beekman needs to keep Nathan George out of the lane. 15 points, 9 assists. You don't want to see that happen again or anything close to that happen again. So Reese Beekman is going to have to play better against the kid. 9 assists and 6 free throw attempts from a point guard is just way too much from our perspective. I can see Tony Bennett going with Dunn on Dongo, 6'8" defensive stalwart against 6'9" pogo stick, because the Dongo kid can move around. The big question for the Hoos, can they get enough offense? in the 40s for the last five games, including the most recent one, the loss to Duke over the weekend. Virginia's been off, as we all know, because it's been a long midweek with no midweek games. Let's jump into where ACC bubble teams stand heading into the weekend as we go through this this podcast here. Wake Forest is the one that is just got you scratching your head, right? I mean, Wake Forest, after beating Duke, a couple weeks ago now, it feels like that was like the one that got Wake into the tournament. But, I'm kind of thinking now the 2012-2013 UVA season, Virginia beat Duke late in that season, felt like that game was going to get Virginia into the big tournament, and then they faded down the stretch and went to the NIT. I think that's right. Pretty sure, because I either that or got a low seed in the NCAA tournament. Now I need to look that up, but I think we went to the NIT that year. And not only that, that week that finished with the Duke win and the court storming, earlier in the week, Wake had blown out Pitt, utterly 33-point win over Pitt. 18-9 at that stage, as high as I had their average computer ranking for the six computer rankings that the NCAA tournament selection committee uses. To help it guide its way through selecting a tournament field. The average rating was 31.7. That's a 7 or an 8 seed in the big tournament. They've gone from there all the way to outside looking in right now. Their computer average ranking is 50.5 after this 3-game losing streak, 18-12 overall. And they got to play Clemson this weekend. That's a chance for a big win. You get that win and after all this, you're probably in. You beat Clemson. It's a home game, so it'd still be a quad one. It wouldn't be quite as impressive as it would be if it was at Clemson. But you got to win that game. You lose that game, and then they probably got to play into Saturday, and they'll have to play into Saturday front because it with these three losses, Wake is now 10-9 in the ACC. So they'll have to play four games to get to Saturday. A fourth game on Saturday, I should say. So good luck there for the folks down in Winston-Salem. Pitt, meanwhile, is taking care of business from what it needs to do. The Panthers have won their last two at Boston College at home against Florida State. Their season best average ranking of 45.2. That's actually pretty solid. And I think also solid for this Pitt team, 10-3 record since January 20th. That was the day that Panthers went in and upset Duke at Duke, 80-76. 10-3 record since then. Their computer rankings look pretty good. You can't afford a slip up. This game against NC State on the weekend, NC State has lost three straight. They've lost four of their last five. They're 4-9 since January 20th. Can't afford, though, to let NC State escape that one with the win. And looking then at Virginia, the other bubble team from the ACC, Virginia has not played, I mentioned, since the midweek game. We all know that. You're watching this podcast. The average computer ranking at 48.0. That is bubblicious. The Virginia gets Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's playing well. Can't afford a slip-up. It is what it is. So that game is 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I don't remember the ACC playing an 8 o'clock game on Saturday night, the last day of the regular season, for lots of reasons. Probably because, for example, I just mentioned Georgia Tech's going to have to play on Tuesday. They're going to get back way late. This game's going to be over after 10 o'clock. By the time you meet your media obligations after the game, you won't be on the bus until about 11. You'll hit the airport up, 11:45 or so. You'll be back in Atlanta by 1 o'clock in the morning. And then you got to turn right around and go to DC. That's not fair to Georgia Tech folks. And it's not going to be fair to me because I'm old and I have to now, I'm going to be up late Saturday night, which is, by the way, also when we spring forward with our clocks. So, man, I'm going to be a zombie when I get to D.C. on Tuesday. And I'm going up on Tuesday, by the way, even though Virginia almost certainly doesn't play till Thursday. I don't know. Obviously winning this game is important for lots of reasons for Virginia. I think it'd be pretty hard at this stage for Virginia, even with a loss, God forbid, to fall out of the double bye. So But I'm going up on Tuesday. I like the, I mean, it's the week of the year. This is like Christmas, but it's for 5 days. So I'll be there Tuesday. I think I might actually, I should be in the arena. I'm taking the train up to just ease my travel up there. So I'll be in DC before the first game tips off, but I don't think I'll be in the arena until about halftime. But then we'll be there for the day. So it should be some fun. And then Wednesday is a, first day of four games. Then Thursday is four games. It looks like Virginia could be the four seed. It looks like at this stage, Virginia should be the three seed. Three seed plays at 9 o'clock, 9:30 on Thursday night. So another late night, likely there. The four seed plays at 2 in the afternoon, 2:30-ish. And they say 12-2, but 2:30 on Thursday. But anyway, well, of course, we'll have all that stuff. And I will have an ACC tournament preview podcast focusing obviously on Virginia, but then on the bubble teams, the NCAA tournament teams, and then sleepers. There was a Virginia Tech team a couple years ago that I thought would have been an NCAA tournament team anyway, but they won the ACC tournament and played their way into the tournament, the big tournament. So we'll look for any teams like that that could jump in. Syracuse might be a team like that. Their record looks good. Their metrics don't look as good, but they're hot right now. So if Syracuse can maintain that, who knows? Syracuse could make a run. Whether that would then knock one of the teams currently on the bubble off the bubble, or just knock someone else completely somewhere far flung off the bubble, we'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, late night tomorrow night. I'm trying to think what else. The Virginia women, of course, are out of the ACC tournament. Got knocked out in the first round a couple of days ago. Virginia Tech won today without Elizabeth Kitley, who got injured in the loss to Virginia on Sunday. She is out of the ACC tournament. We'll have coverage of that. Virginia baseball starts ACC play this weekend today, as I'm recording this in Miami. In fact, they might be getting ready to play now as I'm recording this. But 3-game series down in Miami for the Hoos. We'll have coverage of that. So, a busy weekend for us here at AFP, as usual this time of year. If you have any questions, any comments for me, anything of importance or non-importance, please feel free to email me at chris@augustafreepress.com.